This morning we have an exciting new series. Big screen moments. Yes, the kids can have their time. Big screen moments where we draw special moments from the big screen. And I guess there's nowhere on earth that no country on earth that is as into cinema and big screen than us. Come on. You know, there's no touch in terms of, you know, no one can compare to Bollywood. We make the most movies every year and they're all really good, right? Yeah, we make so, the art of storytelling is ingrained in our culture. And I think as a people, through generations, we have been a storytelling generation. You know, we know the art of storytelling. So we're going to draw from the big stories of the past that are common and well known to get some truths that we can apply into our own life. And as I was thinking about that, one of the big movies that I really enjoyed was Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gum. Who all have seen it? And enjoyed it? Come on, it's like, you know, one of those iconic films like Sholay is, you know, Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gum. And I was thinking through the whole theme. You know, whenever you tell a story, whether through cinema or through the written word, there's a theme that runs through the story. And I was trying to, you know, look at that movie and see what's the main theme. And from my perspective, I guess we all have different perspectives, but from my perspective, the theme really was generational and acceptance. And I guess in many ways you could also say it was generational acceptance or the lack of it. And as I look at what the Bible asks us to do and how we should live, the key scripture I have is from Ephesians. So it's the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives their name. Is that incredible? I bow my knee, I submit to the Father from whom every family on earth derives their name. Paul talks about generations. And when you look at the scriptures before that, he talks about every generation and the generation that he was living in that had come to a realization of God's grace. Because if you look at that scripture from in its entirety, Ephesians 3, it says, because of this, I bow my knee. And what was the because of? Because God was the Father, generational God, who actually demonstrated his grace upon his people. When we look at identity and name, that scripture talks about families and all of us deriving our name from God our Father. Okay, all of us have a name, right? Not just a first name, we have a surname. And where does our name come from? From generations, right? I'm a Hendrix because Ian is a Hendrix, because his grandparents' parents were Hendrix, his grandparents were Hendrix. And if we go through that whole lineage, we can see the Hendrixes and their story begins to unfold, right? You take your identity and who you are from your name. Our name carries our sense of identity. You know, we have a core need as human beings to really feel that sense of acceptance. Our identity and our sense of our need for acceptance are really very linked together. And I thought it was quite interesting that the opposite of acceptance is rejection, which really is a form of identity destruction. I think that's quite an incredible truth. The opposite of acceptance is rejection. We know that. But rejection is also a form of identity destruction. And when you look at that movie, you know, you see that because the parents had an expectation of the child that he didn't comply with, right? You know the story. They wanted him to marry someone else, but he fell in love with Kajol, who didn't meet his parents' expectation. So he was rejected by them. And he went through life trying to build his life without that link, without that sense of his identity that came from his family, right? And all of us, in many ways, have expectations that are either put upon us or expectations that we place on others. Whether it's friendships, whether it's our spouses, whether it's our children, whoever it is, we live with a certain sense of expectations. And in the culture in that movie, it was arranged marriage, right? Where he wanted his son to marry the person that he chose. And I guess in many ways, expectations are not just in the very big things in life. Expectations run throughout our lives. You know, what do we expect in relationships? What do we expect of a friend, a sister? You know, what do we expect of children? What do we expect of parents? What do we as children expect our parents to do or to be towards us? And what do we as parents expect from our children? And what happens if they don't meet our expectations? Then that kabhi khushi, kabhi gum story really comes into play, because it was a loss of relationship, right? When we don't accept who people are, we lose relationship, and they lose identity, and they lose that sense of belonging, which is such a key thing that we need as people. We are not designed to be islands. We are designed to live in community and have that sense of belonging. I belong in this place. And when we don't have that sense of belonging, our life is off track. We're not on the, it's like a train that's taken out of the track. It can't go anywhere, right? It's still the chick-chick train. But if it's not on track, even though it has the capacity to move, to gain momentum, to go further, to achieve everything that little train was supposed to do, if it's not on track, it can go nowhere. And that's what acceptance and belonging does for us. It's those two tracks that enable us to move in the right direction of our purpose and our, you know, the destiny that God has for us, right? And the opposite of that is when we face rejection, either when we experience it from others or we, without realizing, give it to somebody else. You know, we all have expectations as parents. I know I'm speaking as a parent of our children. And so often our expectations don't match their reality. And that's when we actually have a choice, right? We can choose to say, no matter what I expect of you, I accept you just the way you are. And for me, I find it's taking the but out of the sentence. That's great, but if only you would do it like I want to do it. I want you to do it. Come on. Yeah, we all do it. Yeah, we are all guilty of it. Because we want our kids to do things the way we... And I think in many ways there's so much of wisdom that we have as parents that we think, you know, they ought to have the benefit of. The only trouble is they don't see it the same way as we do. So, you know, our wisdom is their imposition. Right? So how do we actually get to that stage where we actually accept and we embrace each other so that we can have that sense of belonging, identity, that would enable us to fulfill the purpose that God has for us? You know, I like this sentence. It says, love or acceptance is when you choose to be at your best when the other person isn't at their best. I think it's really powerful. Love and acceptance. And you can actually put a name on it. Okay, so if you love somebody, just put their name on that. Okay, that's when you choose to be at your best. At your best. Even when they write their name is not at their best. And that is the time actually we normally are not at our best. Because we choose to go down to that level of saying, why can't you do this? Why can't you da 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 da? All our expectations come out like a list. If only you did things my way, we wouldn't be stuck in this situation. If only you had listened. How many times did I tell you? Da 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 da. Come on. But love and acceptance is when we choose to be at our best, at our most embracing, our most accepting best, even when the other person is not at their best. You know, when we actually understand that it is a choice that we make, it will really free us to be more accepting as people. You know, that whole story in Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham was the lack of acceptance that the father had towards his son, right? And the final scene, I don't know if you remember the final scene, they were at the Blue Water Mall in England. Do you remember the final scene in the mall, you know, where they engineered it so that the mother, Jaya Bachchan, was there and that a big emotional sort of scene? They had booked that whole mall for a day, but there was such a huge crowd of people. You know us Indians, wherever we are, we like to watch. Oh, there's something happening. And if there's a Bollywood actor, Shah Rukh Khan, finish, you know. Apparently it was so crowded at Blue Water Mall that they had to tell the film crew, you have 2 hours to wrap up your scene because we can't let this mayhem happen. So that whole big closing scene took 2 hours to shoot. I don't know, you know, what they normally take, but, you know, 2 hours for that big scene must have been quite a challenge for them. But, you know, it's so funny how that sense of coming together, of acceptance, just was on display at Blue Water. And when we accept and embrace the people in our lives, it becomes a display for the world. It's like a city on a hill, our light shining. When we do the things that are difficult to do, not easy to do, but we choose to do it, we choose, it's a choice, then that becomes a real testimony of the power that God gives us to live lives that are authentic, that are real, and that give Him glory. So that in every area of our lives, we can all live our lives with purpose, free of the chains of expectations, right? But just enabled to do what God wanted us to do. I mean, when I was growing up, my parents had no expectations of me kind of, you know, graduating in any specific stream. They just assumed that I would be a housewife. Great expectation, housewife, you know. And so they wanted me to do home science, you know. There is a course, can you believe it? I thought, whoever found, you know, decided to run this course on home science, you know. Ooh. But anyway, my sister did it. And I could not do it because the kitchen and I cannot be united. You know, we kind of don't quite sink. We don't sink. But anyway, my parents wanted me to do that so that, you know, I could be a better housewife. Little did they know. Anyway, whereas my expectations for my life was to be a lawyer because I absolutely love the law and I love justice. This just the way God has wired me. That everything within me just resounds when I'm in a situation where I have to be analytical or if there's something about injustice, it just gets to me. You know, that's how God designed me. So really, that's where I could have or should have been. But I've redeemed that over my life. You know, I have any opportunity I've had to get involved in advocacy, and I did advocacy in the UK for many years, working alongside people that had a legal background, working in the government, situations, you know, doing a lot of advocacy in the House of Commons, places like that, because that's where, that was where I was, you know, most alive. And right now I tell my family I'm the secret lawyer. So anyone wants to analyze anything, you know, lots of documents, give it to mama, I say, you know, I will do it. And I do it. I do it for my kids. You know, I go through stuff and I can find the needle in the haystack when it's the law. You know, that's just where I am. But I could have an expectation that my child be a lawyer, right? Because that's my expectation for her. But that is not her expectation for her. So I have to get to understand the reality that I have to give my children the freedom of being whoever God designed them to be and love and accept it just the way it is, even though it may have no correlation to what I would want. And when we give that gift, step back and say, you know, God, I trust you. I trust you ultimately that you love my kids, that you love me, that you love people, that God loves each one of us, that when we actually know how he's designed us, we can actually rise up and fulfill every plan he has for us, that we can dare to dream big, we can dare to take the, to have the courage to do the things that God wants us to do, we can dare to be accepting of each other, to understand that we're all different and we need to just love and accept each other, you know. And when we do that, we could see our identities intact, not rejected, but intact. So let's be intentional as a people, even with friendships. You know, sometimes you expect your friends to do X, Y, and Z to call you, and then they don't call you, and you think, you're not my friend. You don't ever call. It's an expectation, right? I expect you to do this, this, and this. But if we actually lay aside our expectations and just live lives that are accepting, not expecting, but accepting, we find that our whole world can change. Amen? So let's practice this week to be more accepting of each other and to have less expectation. And if we have those expectations, to have those expectations only in prayer. And when we do that, we find that our worlds could change. We can give people the space and the room to really thrive. And it's only in the process of time that we can see how God actually orchestrates their life. I know in the process of time, God is going to orchestrate my children's life. God is going to orchestrate my joy's life into something that's really beautiful. I just have to trust God. I have to allow God to do what only He can do. I have to step back and say, God, no matter what happens, I trust you, I love you, I know you have the best. I just have to live accepting, trusting, embracing. And when we do that in every area of our lives, we'll see things really, you know, get in sync with His purpose. And our little chuk-chuk train can be on the right track. Right? Acceptance and belonging. We're not an island. Acceptance, belonging, our chuk-chuk train goes in the right direction, okay? Father, I thank you that as your word reminds us that you are the Father from whom every family on earth derives its name. That our identity and who we are is drawn from you, our Heavenly Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace to be accepting of each other, to feel that sense of belonging without expectations or unrealistic expectations, and just know that you have amazing plans and purposes for each one of us, that you want us to succeed, that you want us to be fruitful, you want us to be happy, you want us to be blessed, that you are a good God, you are good towards us, that your thoughts and your plans towards us are good. And we accept that this morning. We accept the goodness that you have for us. And we pray that as we trust you and we get our identity from you, that you would enable us to live this life with fulfillment and purpose and success I pray, Lord, for every individual here this morning. I pray, Lord, that their lives would just resound with your grace and with your favor, and they would be a real example of your goodness upon their lives, so that the world would see that truly we serve a God who is good. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we come to the time of communion, we're going to have that special song that's on the system. And